All right. Shh. For the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show. Coming up this week, Non-League Day, and we're having a laugh.
Threats to my life, and you know, but
we've had those before, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, we head to Morpeth and back again.
Just go back to your vase times. I think you, how far did you get in the vase?
They won it.
Oh well, God, excuse me.
And plenty more besides. Let's bring in the team. Well, when I say team, you know, a team should be there on time, should be togetherness. Occasionally, you should have fines if they're ever late. They shouldn't really drink on the job either. All of those are being broken this evening as we record this on Thursday evening. Evening, Dave Anderson.
Okay, and let me tell you, I've broken them all before tonight.
Just on the way here. Yeah. Obviously, he doesn't drink and drive. No. Dave Watters also with us.
Good evening, Caroline.
I haven't given you both of your official titles.
Yeah.
Resting actor, Dave Anderson. And Dave Watters of the Evo Stick and Ryman Leagues. Yeah. And do you know what else I didn't ask you last week, Dave Watters? You can get in touch, by the way, at Non-League Show on social media to be part of it. What else I didn't ask you last week was what's been going on in your leagues, which is primarily the whole reason for you. I know you dropped bits in throughout the show, but is there anything from last week you'd like to tell us this week?
No, but there is one this week. I don't know. Everyone saw that terrible accident on the M20, the bridge collapsing the other day, and that motorcyclist that had a miraculous escape.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we had a few games were delayed. Obviously, there were clubs trying to travel. But we did a story for the Ryman League. I did a story yesterday, and it was a classic. Basically, we've had two. Needham Market, who won 1-0 at Folkestone, we're stuck on the motorway. They're about an hour away, panicking. And this bride has walked down the motorway in a lovely peach dress. And she's basically looking for help to get off there to get to a big appointment.
Wow.
And anyway, they took some pictures of her and stuff. And they're trying to track her down because they obviously got to the game. They won 1-0. And they're hoping that she got to the church on time, as they say. And so if anyone knows her, contact Needham Market Secretary Mark Easley.
Actually, I mean, what I have to mention Leiston, because Leiston are doing really well in the Ryman Premier.
Yeah.
And my brother-in-law, Roy's a season ticket holder. And I couldn't tell you what he said to me, but it was basically, you better give us a mention this week. You know, there was threats to my life in the tweet, you know. But
we've had those before, though.
Yeah, yeah. But they've had a good start. They're doing really well. It's a place that I've been many times. It's not round the corner.
Certainly not. Suffolk,
and
isn't it,
Lowestoft have had success from that sort of area, and keep an eye on Leiston.
If we'd been on our previous shows, I would have had to have said something along the lines of course, he hasn't really had threats to his life, but now we can tell the truth, and
yes,
probably
yes, I have. Yeah. But that's another story.
Let's bring in another guest, shall we? Sam Elliott joins us on the Non-League Show. Evening, Sam.
Good evening.
Hello, Sam.
Can I just point out,
mate?
Sam's joining us by the wonders of technology, FaceTime, audio FaceTimed him in the studio. And Sam texted me and said, I haven't shaved.
As if that makes much difference.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that we can allow you on now, Sam.
We're always going to audio time you, Sam, with your big.
What I want to know is he really at home or is he on another cruise? Because he loves the cruises and the holidays, don't you, Sam?
Not at the moment, mate. Not. Sadly, at home.
Okay. He's working very hard. In fact,
exactly.
We've interrupted. For those of the uninitiated, which is not easy to say, it probably is actually, I just can't say it. For those uninitiated, Sam Elliott, of course, of the Non-League paper, and it's been a triumph, has it not, the past few weeks of the paper? You've had lots of news to report.
Lots of them, yeah. Very busy start to the season, actually, which obviously helps with kind of managerial sackings early on and what have you. I don't think anyone was kind of expecting what four in the National League to have gone by this stage. Anyone was, but we're overshadowing the Football League this year for managerial departures and what have you. But yeah, plenty going on, which is always good.
We might talk a little bit later on the show to Danny Cowley at Lincoln City, hopefully, if we can raise him. They've had a change today, haven't they? Not managerial, by the way, don't worry about that. But Johnny Margetts, who was with them, has gone to Scunthorpe. He was only there, what, seven games, wasn't he?
Yeah, very, very strange one. That's what she was. My colleague Matt Bagcock did a very big feature with him, sent a spread feature, actually, this weekend, and saying how much he was enjoying it there. And
that's typical Sam, isn't it? Yeah, big spread on him and then he goes. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, usually what happens is we do a nice big spread on a club or a feature on them on a Sunday, obviously written before the Saturday games. You've got to get our news in order, haven't we? And we cast a bit of an evil spell over the club or the player. Usually it's usually a an own goal or something, and they go and score, another team gets battered five or something like that. But no,
or the club even goes bust. That's happened before, I think, as well.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Not on your watch, Sam. Well, not on your watch.
No, that was when I was still there with him. Yeah.
No, it's good for Johnny. He's a, you know, he's a Football League standard player, I think, and it's good that he's got an opportunity. He's kind of Scunthorpe are doing very, very well. I think they're actually unbeaten. I think they've lost one game in since about March, since Graham Alexander has taken over. So it'll be difficult for him to get in that team, because I saw them myself, Scunthorpe, a few weeks ago, and they're very, very strong. So that'd be good. It'd be good for him. He can certainly give it a go, can't he?
There's been a few this week. Gateshead, Ryan Bowman, he went off to Motherwell, the latest from the league, to sign for them too.
Yeah.
I wonder, Sam, how much pressure has been put on because of these changes in the loan deal rules for the Football League, whether, you know, there's a few more clubs that have maybe thought about non-league dipping in and getting their work done.
Yeah, I think you could well be right there, and let's hope these guys are not going to kind of make up the numbers literally in with these football league clubs, with these Scottish Premier League clubs, and so on. But it gives them the opportunity. We can't, we always said, and the clubs are really, they're not reluctant to take a chance on the kind of the up and coming players from there. But I think Ryan Bowman's another one who's been in this level for a long, long time. There's only the opportunity to go and maybe earn a bit more money north of the border, and it's difficult to blame them sometimes, and we know how much money they look at the transfer window just gone. Goodness me, what, 1.1 billion was it? And that's just it's uncomfortable, isn't it? The transfer, the top echelons of the football world at the moment. But it's it kind of filters down, doesn't it? That as I say, the squads now have to be kind of fully prepared with the lack of a loan market. But it involves the National League as well, I suppose.
Are you walking about pacing the floorboard? You keep coming in and out, Sam, but that might... I'm not just switch-turning in and out of you. I am genuinely interested. Stand still, man. There you go. Stand still. Go on, Dave.
No, I was just going to say, Sam, what did you think about Michael Antonio getting called up as well? If we're talking about players going on to bigger things and stuff.
I thought
the things that Sam Allardyce said around it in the interviews he was given to the FA and the papers this week were great. You know, he really was opening the door. And
formerly of Tootingham Mitchell.
I should have
I'm just said providing the subtitles.
Thank you. Thank you. No, but Michael, he was at Tootingham Mitchell for a number of years. The great story about him was that he was spotted, I think, playing on Figgs Marsh in Mitcham at 16. And the club literally were going around banging on his mum's door, going, look, please let him come and play with us. Please let him train. She said, he needs to study at school. He needs to go to church. Yeah. And they came to an agreement. And then look where he's got to now. And I met him last year, actually. And he really is, genuinely. I'm hoping to meet him again this season, because he's going to come back to Tootingham Mitchell and do another event, I think. Mm. But he genuinely was such a nice guy that is obviously not forgetting it on any of his routes. And I'd just like to say he deserves every penny he's obviously earning.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There was it's just so many good little stories out there. And I really do hope that he gets a chance in the up-and-coming England game. And
I think he will.
Big Sam likes his wingers, doesn't he? So,
yeah, and he seems like the kind of manager that he's not just going to put someone in the squad for the sake of it, is he? He's going to give him a chance. Now, looking ahead to Non-League Day, 7th edition of... Blimey, is it?
Yeah. Is it
already? Wow.
7?
Isn't that incredible? I thought maybe I just made that up, but yeah, it is. Yeah. This weekend, Sam, and I know you've done a feature in the paper on all the different things, and really clubs continually, they're trying to outdo what they did the year before. I don't think anything will beat the free punnet of mushrooms. But they are always continually clubs trying to do better. And the good thing this year, I think it's the first time that my club, Chelmsford, we've had non-league day and been at home. There are clubs that are getting that chance this year.
Absolutely. I think I heard one of the kind of chairmen speaking in the summer. That's the first. They don't look for the derbies anymore when the fixture list comes out in July, I think it is. They don't look for the derby games anymore. They don't look who they're playing over Christmas and New Year. They look at, are we at home non-league day? Let's be at home non-league day. Let's really, really hope. Yeah. Keep our fingers crossed that we are. As I said, everyone should have had a home game in non-league day now. You know, I think I'd be incredibly unlucky if they haven't. But you've just got to keep moving forward, haven't you? And just keep kind of banging the drum. And, I think as well, there's a lot of detachment with the top end of the game. I mean, thanks to the summer of discontent with England, I think they can the franchise, but with the national team at the moment as well. And, you know, I really do hope kind of everyone kind of, you know, embraces that this weekend and just goes down and catches a game, brings a friend along and just really kind of spreads the word.
Great Yarmouth playing Ely. They said they've got in touch at Non-League Show on social media. The Bloaters will be serving bloater snacks to supporters on Non-League Day. And they also have ex-Northern Ireland international Norwich City player Adrian Coote's going to be there coaching his Bloaters under 14 squad. So
I'll be there. From a successful international side.
I think a bloater snack involves some sort of fish and bread.
Does it?
Judging by the picture, at least. I'm hoping that's what it's illustrating. But just
not
looking,
one for me, then.
You're gluten-free. Looking at some of the other stories, Wealdstone, they've reduced entry prices.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Quite a few of the clubs have done that, which is good too. Combined Counties League side Knapp Hill, they've reduced their admission prices as well. Adults can get in admission for the game against Farnham, just £4 to go and watch a game of football. Margate, supporters in Kent can watch Margate's National League South game, again for a reduced price of a fiver. And South Shields are saying any budding superheroes urged to head to South Shields for the day. The club are raising funds for Prostate Cancer UK. This is a great thing too. You know, all the charity money that this is going to as well. They're encouraging supporters, young and old, to wear superhero-themed fancy dress.
Oh,
any takers,
fun.
Boys?
Brilliant.
Superman. You better get
get a photographer down there, Sam, for that game. They do make some great pictures there.
Absolutely.
A quick word before we let you go, Sam, then on the National League at the moment. Tranmere, their record continues, top of the league. Then Forest Green edging, sneaking up behind them on 16 points, 3 further points behind Lincoln as well, and their Dagenham and Redbridge. An Aldershot. Now, who amongst us had predicted Aldershot would be top 4? I know we're only 7 games in.
I did.
I was teeing him up. Do you think they'll stay the course then? You have said that, Sam.
Well, let's see. So I'm actually going to go. I'm covering the game this weekend with Tranmere. That's a big game, isn't it? Aldershot, Tranmere,
this early
season as well. Big, you know, big. I think Tranmere is, you know, obviously the difficult game at Southport last week, but I think this is Tranmere's big test, first real big test of the season. Eastleigh, home game on Saturday. Lincoln, winnable at Torquay. Forest Green, winnable at Chester. I think, you know, we might just see the gap close this weekend a little bit, possibly. You know, the rest of them got very winnable games. Also, they, you know, Gary Warlock, I mean, the Wadfathers, I think they call him down there, don't they? The second, I think it is. But it's, you know, he's put a good team together. They're energetic and they know how to defend as well. So it's an interesting one.
Hasn't he done that, Sam, as well, on a restricted budget as well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've never had mountains of money down at Aldershot, and Shahid Azim has been, you know, he's a prudent chairman. He's they really do spend what they bring in, a little bit of help here and there, but it's, you know, the supporters, I think, are quite realistic down there, and just, as long as they see this team giving everything they've got and playing a bit of football as well, then it's a good place to be. We've got Rendell, I think, still to come in and start getting the goals. I think they could be quite good this year.
It's funny as well that they say you should never go back, but yet John Steele's back at Dagenham and Gary's back at
Aldershot.
Yeah,
still week after
absolutely.
Week. Absolutely,
still week come back here. Yeah.
Sam, talking of maybe reduced budgets, we're going to let you go so you can feed the meter on your telephone. Sam Elliott, look forward to the non-league paper this weekend. Sam Elliott from the non-league paper.
Thank you.
Off he goes. Joining us on the non-league show. Some of the stats, Gavin Dennison, thanks for getting in touch at non-league show, says this is the latest the Shots team has been in a playoff place since the end of 2009-2010. The 13 points that they've won in August is the most in the calendar month since March 2012.
Wow. I didn't realise.
The Wadfather.
2012, who was there then?
Yeah, well done. And he also says Tranmere's opponents on Saturday currently on a club record 15 game unbeaten run, 9 wins and 6 draws. At what point, Dave Anderson, and this may be something we've recycled from previous shows, but let's just put that to one side for a moment. At what point do you as a manager think back to those heady days, go and say, right, that's the marker. By this point, we want to have got this, by this, by this, by this.
Privately or publicly?
Both.
I think privately, you have an idea with your staff exactly what you want, because if you've done your homework right with the chairman, you'll know exactly what the club wants. So, publicly, I always used to give it. Let's give it 6 games, see where everybody is. Blah blah blah. But in your head, you'll know 6-7 games in. A great deal doesn't change after 10 games in. I know people can come and have a run and people can fall out of it, but generally if you're in a place after sort of, well, you're a quarter way through the season, then not a lot changes.
And for you, Dave Waters, when you used to be editor of the non-league paper, when obviously working with the magazine too, at what point did you think, right, okay, they're the ones now we have to look to? They've turned up for the books, they've done something different.
A quite boring answer, really, but around September, October, it starts to even out, doesn't it? And you start to you can see by then.
It doesn't
normally.
Can
I just go back to Dave's question that day? Were you ever in a position where you'd lost kind of like all six of your first games? And what kind of a conversation publicly and privately did you have then?
Off the top of my head, I don't remember losing six in a row. My goodness, maybe I have. Yeah. No doubt I will. No, I don't think
I have.
Do
you remember that record you hold? There's a record, isn't
there? Yeah, 78 games. I can tell you every one of those. The 14th of April.
We just have to get that in. That's AFC Wimbledon's longest unbeaten record in British football?
British football, yeah. But anyway, let's move on tonight.
Are you sure?
But I would say that you will, when you start a season, you want your first win. Whether it be home or away, your first points, then you want your first home win, your first away win. You want to try and get your first sort of double home and away, two wins in a row, stuff like that. And what you have to break is the losing streak. And I think I did it for a long, long time where I'd never lost. I'd never lost three games in a row until I remember being at St Albans, which was a long time into my career, and we'd had a poor start because it was the team was poor at the time, and we lost two, and our third game was Bromley away, and I'm going, this is it.
Yeah.
We beat Bromley 4-3, and I have no idea how we did it. Since then, before people get into me, yes, I have lost three in a row many, many times after that, but that was the run into it.
I'm just flicking through Dave Roberts' book that was aforementioned on last week's show, Home and Away, author of The Bromley Boys and 32 Programmes. Hopefully he's going to be in over the next couple of weeks. I was trying to see the Dave Anderson chapter, but...
The book that I forgot last week as well.
You are listening to the Non-League Football Show. You can be part of it, of course, at Non-League Show. Thank you to a couple of people that got in touch about Danny Clark's tweet, North Ferriby United captain. He says, myself... we've and arranged for a few of the players to donate £10 per player towards your Macclesfield coach. Thanks for the support. So it's the players putting a tenner in for the fans to go and watch them.
Brilliant.
More of that, please, at Non-League Show. We are talking then all things non-league day. Let's bring another voice into the occasion. This weekend, of course, matches across the non-league pyramid. You can find them all on the non-league day website. One of those supporting the day, as always this year, Kick It Out, of course. Rasheen Wood from the organisation joins us now. Hey, Rasheen.
Hi, Caroline. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm all right. We actually stunned ourselves. We all knew it was the seventh edition of Non-League Day this weekend, but to actually say it out loud and see how far it's come to. But you guys have had a long association with it.
Yes, this is our fifth year that we've been involved with Non-League Day, the third year alongside the Fans for Diversity, which we run in partnership with Football Supporters Federation. So, yeah, we've been doing it a while now.
So this weekend, what's the focus? You've got some key matches, haven't you, that you're sort of celebrating around being part of?
Surely, we're working with a number of clubs. We're working with Bath City, Harrogate Town, Jarrah Roofing and Margate. And we picked those clubs because they're right across the country. We wanted to stretch ourselves as wide as possible. And we're giving the clubs the same experience that we give the other 92 clubs that we work with. You know, we send out our resources, we send out T-shirts, flags, fan clappers. Because for us, non-league, and we've said this for the last 5 years, is really just as important to us as the professional game. We need the passion that is non-league to help get across our message. So that's what we're doing this year.
Rasheen, hiya, it's Dave Waters here. And I work with the Ryman League and the Northern Premier League and the Southern League. Now, normally, without sort of going off on a downer here, normally you choose some of their clubs for matches as well. And from what you've just said, are they all National League clubs this year then?
Well, yeah, I mean, the problem is that the FA Cup fixtures has made it difficult to arrange at the lower end, meaning, and we've had to go higher up, because normally, as you said, Dave, you're right, we tend to try and get every single level. Yeah. It's just because of the FA Cup fixtures, because we recognise that the clubs have been really supportive of us. They've always been involved.
They need time to plan, don't they, I suppose, with the fixtures.
Absolutely. And we'd love to do more stuff with non-league clubs all year long. But unfortunately, there's only 13 of us and it's a bit of a stretch, you know. But I mean, even this weekend, we're going to have ambassadors at every single one of those games, both members of staff as well as partners, as well as some of our young people from our Aspire group. And we're just trying to get those young people out and saying, look how passionate, look how exciting non-league game is as well, you know. So we have representation at every single one of those games.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I was just disappointed for Dulwich Hamlet, actually, because I know they love supporting you.
Surely.
And they do so much every year. Knowing Dulwich Hamlet, they'll be doing reams load of stuff anyway, and it just, you know, but I think whether you're there or not,
I think as well, Roisin, I think I only want to talk in case people accuse me of being you in a high pitched voice, you know, with the accent. They go, that wasn't Roisin, it was Dave Anderson with a high pitched voice. But so the idea is just to get the message out to as many people as possible, isn't it?
I mean, we're just about to launch next week our campaign for this year, which is called Call Full Time on Hate, and that's about trying to say, we recognise, and we've been saying this for a while, that there is significant some issues around football, and especially around grassroots. And we know that clubs do so much. And we want to try and show everybody else that football actually has taken a strong stance against hate crime. They actually go far and above what a lot of other sports or organisations are doing. But we have to remain vigilant. We have to say, there is no tolerance for discrimination in football. This is the game that we love. This is a game that I've been a fan of all my life. And we know what's happening at non-league. There's passionate fans there who go every single week. And we want to make sure that that's open to everybody, that everybody wants to come along, relevant of age or sexual orientation or race, that this is, football is a game for them.
They feel comfortable and they can enjoy it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so for the clubs are not only doing, you know, putting on our T-shirts and doing it there, but also, I mean, if you take Harrogate, they've invited Shapley FC, which is in Bradford, who recently featured in the Times papers, and they're a big Asian community club. They've invited them to be flag bearers on the day, just as Jara Roofing has invited Young Asian Voices, which again is a predominantly Asian community group, to come along and say, look, football's for everybody.
This, Roisin, this call, I think, did you say it was call Full Time on Hate? The campaign then, is that, without slightly going off on a tangent, has it come about because of all the terror reports, you know, we've all been reading and hearing more hate crime, you know, people feeling, you know, certain members of society feeling that they can come out from underneath their rocks?
I think it is. I think that we recognise, I mean, football has come so far. We were the first people to say it's come a long way and it's much different than it was 20 years ago.
You've done a great job, seriously. Yeah. I think everyone would say that.
I think football's done a good job as well, but I think we look at the reports that are coming through to us because we're a third-party reporting body, and we recognise that both on social media and in the stadium, there's definitely an increase in reports that we're receiving. And as you say, I mean, it just seems there's a lot of people out there now who think, well, this is the opportunity to shout hate, to actually demonstrate the hate. And we're saying, football's done such a good job, keep on doing it, and be really vigilant to say, when I go to a football game, I don't want to see and hear discrimination. I want to shout at our opposition, you know, but I don't want to see that at the game.
Yeah, I think as well, Roisin, it's my personal view of it. It's a balancing act, because I think it is important to point out when situations arise, but it's also important to back it up with how far it's come, you know?
Absolutely. We recognise more than anybody else. I mean, I've been working and kick it out for now 5 years. I'm forever saying to football clubs, you've got to shout a little bit louder about what you're doing.
Exactly.
Football is in the community. They're doing work that actually sometimes I think the government are not doing. I think that, you know, football is leading the way about social inclusion. They're doing stuff around disability, doing stuff with all the LGBT fan groups. Yeah. Actually, football is a real positive. I mean, they're at that cutting edge. And I think sometimes football has to shout a bit louder and say, look what we're doing. Look how inclusive our clubs will be. However, you always have to be vigilant, because there are idiots everywhere, to be honest, you know. And, you know, I meet people in football all the time. You know, I watch a lot of games. I meet a lot of fans. And the amount of fans that I meet who absolutely support our work and support their club and are inclusive of everybody, that it's always, I hate that when I go on anywhere and people say, oh, football's rubbish. Actually, football's not rubbish. It's always the minority. It's always the majority of fans that I meet, and I meet a lot of them, are just people who love the game, who want to go along and watch it and be passionate about it, and just don't want these idiots around us, around the game.
What a perfect way to end it. Roisin, as always, thank you for coming on the show, and we wish you all the best this weekend, and we'll find out how it goes on after.
Bye.
Do you know, I don't think there's a club in this country now that if Pickett had approached them to work with them that would say no, which I think is,
no one would.
But maybe 20 years ago they would have, we haven't got time for that.
No, I think it's an important thing that there is balance in it, because in 7 years of that they've had non-league day, we've seen a change, you know, so we've been around for a long, long time.
Interesting as in so much that we talk about the offers, which is great for fans getting in to get Premier League fans in for non-league day too, but actually there's the charity side behind it, but there's also the message behind it too that has worked over the last 5 years, as Roisin was saying there.
It's become a real thing, isn't it? It's, the idea. I'm always amazed by people who come up with ideas like this, you know, and an idea is one thing, but to grow it into this is...
See what, that young James Doe that started it all
off, what I mean,
7 years ago, you know, they hand out the honours, and we've always got scanners about, they only give, you know, MBEs to certain levels in society, all the rest of it, and this is rows all the time. He actually probably deserves something, doesn't he, for the work? When you think about it, what he started off, he probably does.
There's
you,
a form
you're going to tell me.
I thought
you were about to tell me, actually, Dave, didn't you see he was nominated?
Sir James Doe.
Yeah.
I don't think the honour from us would maybe mean as much.
No.
You never know.
While we're on it, though, just one quick little shout then for the prostate cancer on Saturday, and all the people, you know, well done for everyone that's been trying to raise money for it, and all the stuff they're going to be doing on Saturday. And if anyone can get on that Tifosi online crowdfunding campaign, they're trying to raise 10,000 this year, and I think there's a lot of places left at St George's Park to play with Viali and co. So
get on it.
Little plug for that, but it's a good cause.
No Viali so far this week. He may pop up before the end of the show.
Who knows?
Or he may pop up next week. I'll tease you with that one.
You are listening to the Non-League Football Show. We heard Roisin mention there, of course, it's FA Cup weekend. Yep. Someone taking great interest in that is the Morpeth Town manager, Nick Gray. Evening, Nick.
Evening, good evening. How are you?
I'm all right. You've just been at practice, have you? Last bit of training before the weekend?
Well, actually, these have been under 30s. I've been coaching an 8-day lad.
Are they getting a game, are they?
they're the next Morpeth players, the future ones.
Well, I'm glad to see you coaching them too. So you're in the, for those that don't know, you're in the Northern League Div 1. You're taking on Colwyn Bay, Northern Premier League Division 1. So a step up then.
Yes, I mean, Morpeth is a club I've never played Colwyn Bay. So it's a first for the club. But we're supposedly underdogs. But we're at home, which is great. And so we're just hoping the people of Morpeth come and support us and try and get us over the line.
And this is, you've had a fair old whack at it already. We've spoken to a couple of managers over the past few weeks who opened up their seasons like you did with the extra preliminary round.
Yeah, I mean, my lads, we didn't finish well. The last game made the 22nd in Hereford. So we came back on June the 26th, so the lads had a month off. obviously, I was trying to get 6 weeks before to start the season for pre-season, and that's what I got. And it was the first game, and it was like an expensive pre-season friendly, last pre-season friendly, because it was money, prize money at stake. And we had, if you won that, you got £1,500, which is great for a club our size. And then the last one was just under 2,000, and if you win this one, it's
£3,000 now, isn't it, Nick?
So it's massive for clubs at our level.
Going into the managerial side of it now, Nick, would you have had them watched? Were you... What sort of information, or do you just go and do your thing?
Well, no, we've had them watched. I mean, I go and watch every night. I'm doing some football. I'm watching our kids or going to watch games, because that's what I do. I love it. I live football. The only time, as it happened, they played at Scarborough on Saturday, who play at Billiton. We had someone go and watch them. They got they got beat 1-0. But they had a player sent off. I'm going to meet the guy tomorrow about the reports about the game. But it's a one game that they played last week. You can't do much in it because we only drawn out 2 weeks ago.
And,
so.
Sorry, Nick. I'm always interested because obviously I've been in the dressing room many times, and I always, it's the balance between how much do you tell your players about what they're good at, and also you've got to some way give them hope going out onto the pitch where their weaknesses are. What sort of balance do you go with it when you're in your own changing room?
Well, me personally, I've always, whatever level of football's massive in my eyes on confidence. So you've got to build your team up with confidence sky high. And you've also, the opposition, you've got to think where you can exploit them and where they're dangerous at. But I'm always a great believer in saying it's what your team do. If you worry too much about opposition, then that can affect your own game.
Yeah.
And you've got to have faith in your team. And if you give it all, that's all you can ask for. And you like I say, yes, we'll have strengths and weaknesses. We'll mention them, but mostly we'll speak about what we're going to do, because I think that's what you've got a great belief in yourself more than opposition, because sometimes you can beat yourself before you get in the park if you think too much or worry about the opposition.
Sure, no, I couldn't agree more, to be fair.
You had a big success, of course, last season. I know you want to talk about that, Waters.
No, just going back to your Vars times, I think how far did you get in the Vars?
They won it.
Oh, well, God, excuse me. Why am I laughing? Oh, my Lord. I tell you what, can we just cut that bit of the show?
No,
absolutely not.
All right, thank you. All right, I'll live with it, Nick. Well, I was... I
tell you, can you remember talking to him last season?
I can, actually, on the BBC. Sorry, Nick. Yeah, because I remember when you said that your last game was against Hereford on May the 22nd, I thought, oh, yeah, that was a poor club. I think you had 21 games in about 25 days. Or was it 10 in 15 or something?
We had 22 games in 51 days or 50. Yeah. Every 2.5 days it worked out that we're playing a game.
I'll tell you what, you did brilliantly to win the Vars then, just to reiterate that after doing all that. And actually, I've got to get my excuse in first.
Many of us will never forget it.
Anyway, Nick, my excuse, I was trying to work out my question when they came to me then, and all I was going to say to you about your opponents on Saturdays, I mean, it was only a couple of years ago, seasons ago now, they were in the National League and Colwyn Bay, and I know that they are smarting, seriously smart. So you might not want to let the players, the squad, listen to this interview, but I think they really want to prove a point in the cup competitions this season and in the league, obviously.
Yeah.
But you know, successive relegations, and I'm sure you'll be ready for them, mate. But
We will do. I mean, if you just give you all, that's all you can ask for in the cup. And we had a little bit of luck in the cup last year to win things. You've got to have luck, but these are a bit different because it's all the 42 games or whatever. But in cup games, it's a one-off, and it might be, you know, a poor decision by your defender, their goalkeeper, the referee, you know, all these little things coming in, but you've just got to be focused. And, you know, yes, they'll come. I don't know what time they're going to be leaving. I don't know if they're going to be leaving on Friday night, because what I've said to my lads there, dear help us, lads, if we've got to go down there on a Tuesday night, I don't know what time we'd have to leave from Motors to Wheels, North Wheels. I think it's about a five-hour trip.
I think you're right. Yeah.
When you've got lads at work, we'd have to leave it. They'd have to take half days, and they couldn't put them half days in, so they got to work on the Monday. So you wouldn't know what your squad is to them. But no, they'll be smart, and I'm sure they've done the homework on us. You know, it's massive, as I say. You look at this thing on the Salford, the Castle 92, and that just, I say to my lads, that gives you incentive. I mean, they got to the first round, and on the TV. And
yep.
Yeah. If we've worked out, if you got to the first round proper, which is not, but it's 4 games away now. It's going to be tough, that, but it's £31,000 in prize money that we've collected. That's huge for a club like us.
If you made it to the, and you may well do, I hope, to the first,
well,
first,
once
first
you won
round
the
proper.
Bars, then yeah,
exactly. Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you do get that far, Nick, you I think you're guaranteed to almost be on the TV.
Yeah.
I know ITV and some of them over the years, on the BBC even, have made a few errors.
Rickets,
you say. Yeah. You know, people argue over who they choose, but you'd be picked.
Oh, I'm just saying, as a club, it's 4 games now. 4 games, you know, if we win, I'm not saying we do, but if you win, you're 3 games away from it. So you've got to have targets. And there's £31,000 in prize money. That will keep us going for the season.
Yeah. Dirt a dream, Nick, that's the comment. Dirt a dream.
That's what we did last year. But no one gives a hope against Hereford, and fortunately came out on top that day.
All I can say to finish off is I'm glad I didn't go to the non-league finals day at Wembley in May. I'd be even more embarrassed than I already am. Good night.
He was there. He'd had too much to drink. Nick, just finally, after that match against Hereford, you nipped up to Scotland, didn't you, to finish your coaching badges. Your A licence, wasn't it?
Yeah, my A-licence, yeah, past that.
What's your ambition, Nick? I know, obviously, you'd like to take Morpeth up and through the ranks, but do you take those badges with the hope that one day you could be
easy.
Managing
at the A-licence? No, believe absolutely. Me, ain't an easy...
So to get that, to be as qualified as you are, where do you see as your boundary?
Well, I would like to do coaching full-time, and whether that takes us to China, Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, Australia, America... Newcastle United. I work at Newcastle and development squad at the moment with their kids 10 and 11. I'm with a boys club now in the Walls End, in Newcastle City Juniors. That's what I do as well. So I'm all do football. But, you know, Morpeth, I don't think they've got the resources to go further up because of the geography. They don't want to go any further up. And up here, trying to be a manager at non-league level, it's difficult because there's only really Blyth, Spartans and Gateshead up this area. Mm. So on that, it's going to be difficult on a manager side. But don't get us wrong, I love the coach as much as manager because you're everyone's friend as a coach. As a manager, you're people's worst enemies sometimes, you know, and you've got to make decisions. And I love the coaching side. And there's no point in my eyes, me, doing the hard work to get the A-licence if I'm not going to try and use it and benefit other people. And as I say... If it takes us wherever I'll go, and it'll be great to be at a football club, but I know at a football club, it can be brutal. You can be, there's no security in the jobs, you know. And it's sometimes the coaching in places like China, places like that, where it's up and coming, and I think they're going to try and compete with the English Premiership in years to come. You know, trying to get in that area at this time might be something worthwhile, and you've just got to, you know, as I say, getting the A-licence was fantastic. It was a great 3 or 4 weeks. Pass that and win the Vars, but I really want to use it because I don't see the point of people getting qualifications if you're not going to use it. Like people getting A-levels and they're not even getting jobs, which is, I think, is really tough as well. So it's just like coaching, no point getting them if you're not going to use them. So I'm desperate to try and get it to coaching. So if anyone's listening,
I don't know why you're looking at me. I used mine for a number of years, let me tell you.
It's just I can't help myself, Dave Anderson. Nick, we'll let you go now. Thanks so much for taking some time out.
Yeah, Nick, good luck.
Good luck this weekend.
Start a Morpeth Town fan club out there in China if you make it.
When they make it easy. Good luck to Colwyn Bay, though, of course. And Nick Gray joining us then on the non-league show. Yes, Dave Anderson.
No, he's talking about China, because I got Swampy's in Singapore as a singer somewhere like that.
Oh, he's been in touch. Don't worry.
He may have moved on by now.
The minute he knew he could download the show, he's been in touch. But you may also remember about 6-7 years ago when we were doing this show on BBC London, we had Anthony Hudson in, who was at Newport at the time. Yep. He then said a similar thing, although Newport fans, you know, whether he got on well there or not.
That's right, he was
maybe a side issue. But because he couldn't progress anywhere else, he went off to, I think it was Bahrain. Then he went and he's managing New Zealand at the moment. So,
oh, is that where he is?
Yeah, so I think he's still in New Zealand. So it is taking maybe that sideways big dedication, as Nick was saying. But if Morpeth can only go to one level, maybe it's this year and he thinks, right, we'll get him on telly. We'll do that bit. They're set up. And then what can they do? They pat him on the back.
And to be fair, he's in a situation because of his goal quality that he will eventually have to pack his bags and move to get...
He is in a little pool there. That point he made about Blyth and Gates and that was such a good point. And, you know, it's not just about the clubs not wanting the travelling coming out of the Northern League to go into, say, the Northern Premier League or whatever. It's the players. Just find them. It's not like where you were, Dave, in West London or wherever you were managing and you could... You know, you could travel, couldn't you? But you've got a long journey there.
Could he talk about four hours?
I have to say that he sounds like a great man and passionate. Imagine all the kids that he's looked after now and coached and put on the right course.
Yeah, and shown them his Vars medal.
That's said he was on a show once, some idiot forgot about it. And he won it.
Luckily, that's nearly it for us this week. One other non-league day. I mean, do try and go to whatever club you can. This one might be a bit of a stretch, though. SV Oosterhim.
Very well.
For those, of course, that maybe fancy a bit of a journey, they will become the first Dutch club to take part in the day. Brilliant. The amateurs from the Netherlands welcoming supporters to their game against... I'm not even going to say that. Do you know why I'm not going to say that? Go look who they're playing and then see why I haven't said that name. It's free entry, apparently, for that, if you want to go along to that one. So that's worth it, too. One other story I just wanted to briefly talk about. Players moving this week. Talked about Antonio at West Ham getting his call up for England. We saw Albert Doma's gone from Middlesbrough as well.
Nicky Pope, one of the goalkeeper I had on, Harrow, signed for Burnley a couple of months ago, 1.1 million. and put and get his first team debut with us on loan. So there's people moving.
But it's the kickback to Torquay this week. Kevin Nicholson, who we've had on many times, yeah, their boss, said that O'Kane, who's moved from Leeds to Bournemouth and going into their playing squad, they sold the Republic of Ireland midfielder for £175,000 in 2012, and they had a 15% sell-on clause in that deal. But undisclosed fees, we don't know how much he's gone for. But Nicholson says all that money will go into helping the club rather into his playing budget, so which of course keeps the club going. But having spoken to him last season, as we did when he was driving the bus and all sorts was happening, so just that little bit when you need a little fill up, a little bit of a tickle.
Yeah, you need the football gods to be nice to you, and they have been.
You had one once, didn't you?
What, a football god?
Yeah,
I am a football god.
Sorry,
I'm only joking.
How quickly they forget. That's it for this week. Anything else either of you would like to mention? I'm clear when you come into this confessional that not always do we get to say what we want to. Sometimes we say too much.
My deepest regret will be there'll be parts of this show cut out tonight that would have been good fun.
Yeah. I just want to.
They'll never know which bit.
No.
Finish on one. Just go back to Colwyn Bay. Story this week, and it's sort of close to my heart because my dad passed away with a brain tumour in February. But they have made the Brain Tumour Charity their official charity for this season. And to all the clubs out there, they all choose, you've done it many times, they have their chosen charity for the year, and they all do so much good for so many different charities. So but just a little special one for Colwyn Bay there this week, it stood out for me.
I, Dave Waters, will let you have that. The final word with him for once. Or not quite. As always, you can be part of it at Non-League Show. Thanks to Audio Boom as well, who are supplying the means by which we communicate. And you can find out more at nonleaguefootballshow.com, how to download us. If you're listening to this, you already have. But there are many ways in which you can carry Waters and Anderson round in your pocket. Why wouldn't you? Until next
and
week.
And the Barker.
and what you say? Goodbye.